thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I wouldn't say this is a difficult topic that we're going to talk about tonight. Maybe the title of the message is a little bit wordy. We started a series at the beginning of the year that was piggybacking with what was happening on the weekends. We started a series on the weekends called Start, and to support that or enhance that, I felt like I wanted to do something. Lord was leading us toward doing something called No Shortcuts. You know, in life, there's lots of opportunities to take shortcuts. We can take them most any time we want to. I might need to do that a little bit this evening. We can do it most any time we want to, and I was thinking this week about the shortcuts sometimes that we take in our lives when it comes to replenishing our lives. And so tonight I want to talk to us about the discipline of replenishment, what that means, what it means, what God expects in our lives when it comes to being rehydrated, if you will, or re-energized, or replenished for that matter. How many of you are conscious about your nourishment? What you take in, your nourishment, what you eat, how you take care of your body, how much more should we be concerned about our spiritual nourishment and our spiritual nutrition? And so the discipline of replenishment is something that causes us to pay attention to our spiritual walk. You know, it is amazing how quickly things can drain us. It's amazing how quickly things can deplete our tank. And so we have been studying in the book of Hebrews, No Shortcuts. We've been looking at the book of Hebrews, leading us up to Hebrews chapter 11, which is that great chapter on the heroes of faith. I would venture to say most of us in this room would not see ourselves in the categories of the heroes of faith from Hebrews chapter 11. My question would be why? Why would you not see yourself in that category? Why would you not see yourself in the category of a hero of faith? If God has called you for such a time as this to live on planet Earth, to have influence wherever you live, you are a hero of faith. You're a hero of faith. And because of that, we need to be replenished. So I have been thinking about the life of Joseph, and we're going to look at the life of Joseph. Some things amazed me this week. Last week as I was reading some things, and some other things amazed me, and we're going to get there in just a minute, but I want to first of all give you the definition of replenishment, because we're going to talk about the discipline. So when we think about the word discipline, we think about doing something to push us maybe somewhere where we know we need to go or want to go, but we're going to need something behind us to propel us to get there. I have a way in my life, and it's probably an overreaction and probably is probably not a great thing in my life. I push my body. And I actually like to do that. And sometimes I push it beyond the limits of wisdom. But there's something in me that likes to push my body. And my wife tells me often that I'm unwise in the way that sometimes I push my body. I wonder if we push ourselves spiritually when it comes to replenishment. The discipline of replenishment will require us to push ourselves beyond what's probably comfortable, beyond probably what we feel like doing, but it will reap great rewards if we do that. So here's the definition of replenishment, and it's on your outline. To make full or complete again. I highlighted the word again. So it gives the indication here with the definition that at one time you were full, but for whatever reason, the tank or whatever it is has been depleted. So that whole idea of replenishment is to make full or complete again, as by supplying what is lacking, used up, etc. To replenish one's stock of food, to supply with fresh fuel, to fill again or anew. We need to understand the discipline of replenishment, because this life has a way of draining you. And it often has a way of draining us in ways we don't even recognize. We're just going through life. We're just going through the normal motions of life, raising families, doing life, working. And before we know it, we're depleted. And so there has to be this understanding of what it looks like to be replenished. So I've been reading about Joseph. He's, of course, in Hebrews chapter 11, and he's also in Genesis, and he's one of our heroes of faith, one of the people that we read about right away in the beginning of Scripture. And I was fascinated when I read Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 6, the surrounding verses, the ones before and after. But let me start by reading this to you, and then let me start making some observations about replenishment in our lives. So when we pick this up in Genesis chapter 45, Joseph has been in prison for 13 years, approximately 13 years, sold into slavery by his brothers. Now he finds himself at that place where he's going to come face to face with the people that threw him in prison. So I want you to imagine having 13 to 15 years of time to think about what someone did to you. They caused you to be in a place that you didn't choose, to cause you to be in a place you wouldn't want to go. How would you respond? How would you respond if you were face to face with somebody that has brought so much heartache and grief and pain and sorrow into your life in the last decade plus? That's Joseph. Joseph is going to be face to face with the brothers that did this to him. So he's in a room with them, and here's what the Bible says. Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, "Out of here, all of you." So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. He broke down and he wept. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians could hear him, and the word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. "I am Joseph," he said to his brothers. "Is my father still alive?" But his brothers were speechless. I'm sure they were shocked. They thought he had been thrown into a pit. They had no idea. He's really alive? Can you imagine? They were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. "Please come closer," he said to them. So they came closer, and he said again, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me ahead of you to preserve your lives." As I read that and as I thought about that all week, I thought, Joseph knew something about his situation that it proves, the fruit of his life proves out that he understood how important it was going to be for him to be replenished. He's in a place not of his choosing for 13 years, 14 years, 15 years, however long it is. He comes face to face for the very first time with the brothers who put him there, and he immediately puts their minds at ease. How could he do that? How could he do that? There had to be something going on in the life of Joseph when he was imprisoned that helped him to understand how important it was going to be for him to be replenished. Think about in your own life how when you've had a bad day, what's your response? What's your response when the pressure and the tension at home is so great and then all of a sudden it erupts? What comes out? Often what comes out is what's really in there. I said to the students today at Eagle Rock, and they're young students from 17 to 34 is the oldest in the school, and I said, adversity always, I've said it many times before, but it's a true statement, adversity always introduces us to the real us. If you want to know the real you, then put yourself in a pressure situation. You're going to know, you're going to see the real you. Here's Joseph, after 13 or 14 years in prison, in front of all of these guys who put him there, and his first response is to reach out in love to them. Don't be upset. Don't be mad at yourself. So it says to me, Joseph was doing a lot of things right when he was in prison. And I asked you just a minute ago, are you conscious of your replenishing of your life? Are you conscious of your nutrition in your spiritual life? It's important that we be conscious of it because we never know what's ahead. We never know what we're going to face, but the fruit of what we're putting in will come out when it needs to come out. And here's Joseph in this situation, and what does he say? "Listen, it was God who sent me ahead of you to preserve your lives." How unselfish. That is one of the most unselfish things that a man could say. He's in prison for all these years, and he's saying, "Listen, don't be bad at yourself. Don't be hard on yourself. God sent me ahead to save you." Joseph had learned something about the discipline of replenishment. We need to understand how important that replenishment is in our lives because we never know what's ahead of us. So I want to give us two challenges today, and it's just two with some no shortcuts in between. But simple challenges, but I think they're actually profound challenges if we'll take them to heart. In the normal course of life, you need nourishment and nutrition. True? In the normal course of life, if you don't eat, your body's going to tell you. When I don't eat, my body tells me, and I talk to my body, and I say, go eat. I go find food, and I get it down me as quick as I can. If I don't have it around me, I start, Well, I don't know if I crab, but I sure draw attention to myself. I need food, and I go and find it. So here's the first challenge. If we want to understand the discipline of replenishment, the first challenge that we've got to embrace is we've got to choose the self-development challenge. We have to choose it. God is not going to force it on us, just like nobody's going to force feed you. God is not going to force feed us when it comes to our spiritual nutrition or our spiritual growth. That is not going to be forced on us. So we've got to choose the self-development challenge. I believe the fruit of Joseph's life proves that he chose that. He chose the self-development challenge. How do we know? Because we see how he lived his life. How he handled his life all those years in prison, all of the things that he did when he had the opportunity to be mad at God. You know, there's times in our life that things don't go the way we want them to go, and we have opportunities to choose shortcuts. But I don't see Joseph doing that. And Joseph was no superstar. He was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery, but he had this understanding that if I'm going to make it in life and I'm going to be willing to do the things I need to do, I better learn the discipline of replenishment. We have to know that. We have to understand that if you are not replenishing yourself spiritually, you are starving yourself spiritually. And there's great dangers in doing that. There's great dangers in starving ourselves. You know, the symptoms don't always show up right away. The symptoms of starvation don't always show up right away. They're oftentimes things that just kind of go undetected for a long, long time. I remember today, and I actually said it to the students. It was 2 years ago this week that I was actually up there at the Snowboarders DTS that I started noticing these funny little symptoms in my body that they just weren't normal for me. But they weren't big things. They were just little tiny things. I thought, I'm not feeling so right. I feel like I have to keep doing this and not doing that. So I just kept pushing through that without being sensitive to what was going on in my body. And because I wasn't paying attention to it, I don't know that I could have done really much about it. But the long and the short of it is I got in my truck and I drove down the mountain. And within 2 hours of the time that I really started feeling these symptoms, I was in the hospital. I remember I was sitting in my office with Pastor John, and I started to kind of shake uncontrollably, and I said, I've got to go home. I'm not going to be able to drive my truck, and ended up getting taken to the hospital. Was in the hospital for 3 days with some bacteria in my blood, and I had sepsis. But what startled me as I thought back about it again today was I had these little tiny symptoms that were showing up, but I was ignoring them. When it comes to the discipline of spiritual replenishment, there's going to be little symptoms. There's going to be little things, indicators in your life that are saying to you you're malnourished or you're undernourished. There's going to be things that are indicators, and that's why we've got to embrace this self-development challenge. It is important that you are self-developing. And Joseph, I believe, was self-developing. I wrote on my outline, it's not on yours, but I think this is true. We often embrace what we get to do while rejecting what we must go through. We often embrace what we get to do. I embrace what I get to do, but I often want to reject what I have to go through. If you understand the discipline of spiritual, really replenishment, how important that is, you won't reject what you have to go through because you'll be fueled. You'll be empowered in your body to go through whatever it is that God ordains you go through. This was God ordained for Joseph. As hard as it is to understand, it was God ordained. God said through Joseph to his brothers, don't be mad at yourself. It was God that sent me ahead. You mean, God, you let me be locked up in prison for 13 years? You mean, God, that you let me be falsely accused? You mean, yes, yes, and yes. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world, said Jesus. So when you choose to embrace the self-development challenge, you are choosing to ready yourself for whatever you must go through. And it's important that we do that. Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. It's just some more elaboration on Joseph and his life. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave in Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him. So not only was Joseph there, he wasn't just making it, he was thriving while he was there. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him ruler over Egypt and over all of his palace. I believe with all my heart, the reason that he was promoted and got where God wanted him to go was because he understood the discipline of spiritual replenishment. He didn't just endure it. God does not want you just to endure what you're going through, but he wants you to embrace it. It's hard to embrace the difficult things in life, but part of the discipline of replenishment is knowing that when you go through things that are disappointments to you, you get to choose how you respond to that. Last Saturday, we had a memorial service here for Kaylee Macbeth, and that memorial service impacted me profoundly. This was a 19-year-old girl who found out early in life what she wouldn't be able to do because of physical limitations. She wasn't going to be able to play basketball, and she wasn't going to be able to do some of the things that she wanted to do because of the physical limitations on her body, but she didn't get stuck in those physical limitations. She just refused to be stuck in those things, and she embraced what she had to deal with. She recognized the discipline of spiritual replenishment, and she filled herself up. Testimony after testimony after testimony of how her life impacted people that were sharing. It was profound to me. And I thought, man, how much life she lived up to 19 years because she understood that she needed to keep feeding herself. She needed to keep replenishing herself. You know, sometimes when we go through hard things in life or we hit the wall in life, we kind of retreat. And it hits us and it's a blow. And what our initial response needs to be immediately is we need to go to the Word. We need to have this ability to challenge ourselves with spiritual replenishment. And pour into yourself not just what you want, but what you need. It is so important to pour into our lives what we need. I believe Joseph was doing that. Joseph was pouring into his life what he needed. Kaylee was pouring into her life what she needed, and every opportunity she had to minister, she was ministering. Are you doing that with intentionality? Are you pausing long enough to recognize the symptoms of malnutrition and exercising the discipline of replenishment in your spiritual life? Because if you're not, when it comes time for you to be face-to-face with your accusers or face-to-face with your opposition or face-to-face with those that did you wrong, you may not respond the right way. So it all comes down to what you do before you get to that point. What you do before you get to that point is what's super important. Let me give you a couple no shortcuts, okay? Are you ready? There are no shortcuts because what's often important is what you don't know and you can't see. What's often important is what you don't know right now and what you can't see. And then on your outline, your fill-in is hard things are coming. Hard things are coming in our lives. Hard things are ahead of us. If we live our lives like hard things are not in front of us, we're not living wisely. Hard things are in front of us. So what's important right now is what you don't know and what you can't see. There's things out there that you don't know and can't see, so it's necessary right now that we enter into the discipline of spiritual replenishment so that when we get there, we have what we need. I remember in 2012, and I remember saying this before in this audience, I remember saying that three of us as pastors on the staff, we wanted to try this ride called the Triple Bypass. It was 120 miles from here to Avon, Colorado. And in 2012, we tried that ride, and I thought I was as prepared as I could be. I thought I had trained as well as I could, and I believed I had trained as hard as I could. And we made it to the 60-mile mark, and we had to stop, and we had to suspend our ride because of rain. We had to turn around at that 60-mile mark, and I remember at that 60-mile mark, and I'm looking around with the other riders, and I remember at that 60-mile mark, here's what I know about myself. I was as tired and as exhausted as I've ever been in my life. Other than Marine Corps boot camp, I don't ever remember a time being as exhausted as that. And I remember knowing in my mind that I would have driven my body to finish that ride if I would have had to die doing it. I just know me. I would have done that. I didn't have the option to do that. I had to turn around and come back because of the rain. But the next year, when we did it, last year in 2013, I had in my mind a clear memory of how I felt halfway through that ride. That's 60 miles. So here's what I noticed this year that I didn't notice last year. This year, as we were climbing the first pass, Squaw Pass, 17 miles, just climbing, two and a half hours of climbing, I noticed people very quickly went by me without stopping at the aid station. And I remember thinking to myself, oh, how foolish you are. How foolish you are to pass this necessary aid station. You might not feel like you need it now, but hard is coming. I remember thinking that to myself, hard is coming. And I just watched people go up over the top, and they're thinking, okay, finally we have a downhill and I can rest and recover my body. But it wasn't enough. When you get to the downhill, it's not just enough to coast down the hill. You've got to understand the discipline of spiritual replenishment, just like you would with physical. And I remember when we got to the top of that first pass, I shoved as much food in me as I could. I didn't feel like eating. I was exhausted. And this was only 20 miles into the ride. And I was exhausted, but I ate because I knew hard was coming. And this year, I remember when we got to the halfway point, the 60-mile mark, I felt totally different than I did the year before. I felt like a different person. I was in a little bit better shape, but I really felt like a different person. And I know for sure part of it was what I had done when I didn't feel like I needed to eat. You know, and there's times in our spiritual walk, the discipline of replenishment tells you to give yourself what you need even though you don't think you need it, because hard is coming. And when I hit that 60-mile mark, there was no rain at that point, and I just stopped. Of course, I stopped at every aid station, by the way. And let me just tell you this, and let me just tell you how important this is. God, in his wisdom, has every aid station set up, divinely appointed by him for you. You need to stop. You need to stop, and you need to shove down the banana or the protein bar, spiritually speaking. You need to put the word in, you need to put the word in, you need to put the word in, because hard is coming. And there is no shortcut. There is no shortcut. And I saw people all along this path stopped and walking and on the side of the road. And the year before, I thought, I am going to die doing this. It was hard this year. We finished the ride, but I didn't feel like I was going to die. I actually had a little bit left in the tank at 120 miles, and a lot of that had to do with these amazing pastors that were helping me understand the training of it. But don't pass the aid stations. So I was thinking about that all week, and I was thinking about Kaylee. I was thinking about how many of the, when she came to the hard thing, she said, you know what, I'm just going to rehydrate. The discipline of spiritual replenishment. And every time she had an opportunity to minister, she ministered because she had been replenished. So the next one is this. You will need initiative and obedience, so establish personal growth habits. So there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts because you will need initiative and obedience, so you need to establish personal growth habits. The discipline of spiritual replenishment means that you have personal growth habits, and they just need to work for you. They don't have to work for me. You don't have to get up at 3:30, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You can do yours at 11 o'clock at night if you want. Just don't call me and tell me you're doing it, because I'm going to be long asleep. I'm going to have been asleep for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours at 11 o'clock, if you call, I'll have been asleep for 2 hours, so you can do the math. But I'll do a Bible study with you at 4 o'clock in the morning if you want, and I'll be fully present at 4 o'clock in the morning. But that works for me. It really does. It works for me. So initiative and obedience and developing personal habits, super important that we do that. So don't pass the aid stations. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 32 through 35. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So this self-development challenge is super important, and we need to be hydrating and nourishing ourselves on the Word of God. You need to be getting the Word of God in you. Have you hit the wall recently? Have you hit the wall at work? Have you hit the wall in your spiritual life? Maybe you passed an aid station. Maybe you passed an aid station and now it's time to stop. And you might feel like you're in a coasting season of life. You might feel like, oh, the wind's finally in my face and I'm going downhill and I can just coast for a while. There's something happening on the inside of you that you need to identify soon. Don't wait. Don't wait until you crash. Don't wait until you hit the wall. I have learned some things about my body physically. And when I get to certain places physically and I push myself to a certain place, I've got to stop. I should be so much more sensitive, spiritually speaking, to my spiritual health and that discipline of replenishment. So let me give you this second challenge. The second challenge is this. Stay constantly focused on the significance challenge. Stay constantly focused on the significance challenge. I believe that Joseph understood the significance of his life. How do you live in prison? How do you go through all that you go through with not only the self-development challenge? So Joseph's in prison. He thinks he's doing the right thing. He doesn't sleep with Potiphar's wife. He stands up. He does the noble thing. He helps interpret some dreams, and it only gets worse for him. Every stage, he's in self-development challenge, but he moved beyond the self-development challenge to the significance challenge. He realized that his life was significant. You have to understand how significant your life is. You can't minimize the effectiveness of your life. You can't minimize the effectiveness of your testimony. The day in, day out, living out of your testimony is the most significant thing that you get to do. And that I get to do. And I think Joseph understood the significance challenge. Look at what Acts chapter 7, verses 11 through 15 say. A famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was no grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. There is a Jewish nation, a Jewish people today, because Joseph recognized the significance challenge. He was in prison, didn't want to be there, shouldn't have been there, didn't do anything wrong, found himself there, harder was coming. But as a result of that, he took on that self-development challenge and he said, no matter where I'm at, I'm going to grow. No matter what I'm going through, no matter how difficult my situation is, I am going to take on the self-development challenge and recognize the significance challenge. It's significant. Your life is significant. Joseph's life was significant. Every situation where Joseph encountered those he could justifiably be angry with, he showed them love. There was something on the inside of him that was godly and healthy. He could have justifiably been angry. He could have made his brothers pay retribution. He could have done anything he wanted, but every single opportunity he had, he expressed love. He saw the significance of what he was going through, and he didn't focus on the little things. He focused on what God had done in his life. We need to do that. If we're going to make it, if we're going to recognize the discipline of replenishment and the importance of that, we need to know how significant our life is. Do you think your life matters? Do you know your life matters? If you don't think your life matters and you don't know that your life matters, you're wrong. Your life matters. Your life is significant. Who you are is significant. It's important and it matters. And Joseph had to learn that. He didn't have anybody there encouraging him. Joseph had no one there in prison pumping him up. No one. It was just him and the Lord. But this development in his life was consistent and it was constant. So every time he hit the uphill, he could make it because he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. And we've got to understand that. And so what it takes is constant focus. You need to know yourself spiritually. And if you've hit the wall, then you need to slow down, you need to back up, and you need to stop at the next aid station. There's one right there. There's an aid station there, and in that aid station is everything that you need. So, there are no shortcuts. So, let me give you a couple more. Are you ready? Say, yeah, I'm ready. There are no shortcuts. So, beware of avoiding the struggle. So, when we're talking about the significance challenge, there's going to be struggles. Beware of avoiding the struggle. It's going to do you no good to try to avoid the struggle. The struggle's coming. You might as well just say thank you. You might as well just say, thank you, Lord, for the struggle, because if the struggle comes, then God knows what he's doing, and he's brought it for a reason. And because your life is so significant, God is going to bring the struggles. And whether you liken it to the athletic world and a struggle is the uphill pedal, or whatever you liken it to, the struggle is meant to train you and strengthen you and equip you, not to destroy you or defeat you. That is not what it's meant for. So there's no shortcut, so beware of avoiding a struggle. If you come face-to-face with a struggle, you got one of two choices. Either try to take a shortcut or go right at it. Might as well go right at it, because it's significant that that struggle is in our lives. The next one is this. Don't stay stuck because you can't get past what you think is unfair. Don't stay stuck because you can't get past what you think is unfair. Life is unfair, isn't it? What Joseph was facing was 100% unfair. He should not be in prison. And his brothers put him there. It was unfair. And now he's in front of his brothers, and he has an opportunity to return unfair with unfair, and he returns unfair with love. It's okay, guys. God sent me ahead. There were so many times in the life of Joseph where I see he could have stayed stuck. Last time I'm sticking my neck out. All I did is interpret a dream, and I'm here for two more years. Are you kidding me, God? Every time he stuck his neck out, it felt like he was going to get his head chopped off. But there was something in Joseph that allowed him or made him refuse to stay stuck because of unfair in life. And I want to learn this. I want to learn this, and I'm telling you, I'm learning it. I don't have it down all the way. I'm learning. I have unfair around me. Do you have unfair around you? How many of you have unfair around you? We have unfair around us, but don't stay stuck. The next one is this. There are no shortcuts, so getting stuck and staying stuck are not the same thing. Getting stuck and staying stuck are not the same thing. I'm pretty sure you're going to get stuck in life, but getting stuck is different than staying stuck. It's okay to get stuck. It's going to happen to you. There's going to be things that happen. You're going to get mad. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get hurt. You might back up. You might say, that's the last time I do that. That's the last time I'm putting myself out there for people. Every time I do it, I get stabbed in the back. And you're going to get stuck. And hopefully there's people in your life that love you enough that help you to see, hey, you're stuck. There's the aid station right there. Go on over into that aid station and down something. Eat something. The key is don't stay stuck. Don't stay stuck. Staying stuck is going to do you no good. And part of helping us not stay stuck is recognizing that your life is significant. Your life is significant and your life matters. Psalm 105, verses 17 through 19. The psalmist is saying this about Joseph. So when he's describing the exploits and the challenges that the children of Israel faced, the writer of the psalm says this. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them. So he's talking about Joseph here. Then he sent someone to Egypt ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Now notice the writing of the author here. They bruised his feet with fetters, and they placed his neck in an iron collar until the time came to fulfill his dreams. The Lord tested Joseph's character. See, hard was coming for Joseph, but God was going to use Joseph in remarkable ways. He was going to be this strategic point person who was going to minister to the 75 in his family that would allow the Jewish nation and the Jewish people to multiply again and to be the force on planet Earth and the blessing that God intended from the very beginning when he took a man named Joseph. Iron fetters on his neck and on his arms and on his legs, imprisoned. And the Bible says it tested the character of Joseph. You know, there's times that because of the significance of the call on your life, your character gets tested. You find yourself in a place where your character gets tested, and it's in that place where we have to choose, are we going to murmur, are we going to complain, or are we going to go through it and have the right attitude? And maybe I'm going to get stuck, but I'm going to get unstuck quickly. Got to do that. Let me give you the last point. You know, I think it probably wouldn't be helpful for all of us to be able to learn to identify maybe the symptoms of malnourishment when it comes to our spiritual lives. I think sometimes we we experience malnourishment when it comes to our spiritual lives, or a lack of being nourished when we go through pain. We go through pain, or we go through loss. We go through difficult things. Sometimes we need the discipline of spiritual replenishment because we're lonely. We've been discouraged. We've been disappointed. Things have happened in our lives that we didn't understand. And those are the little symptoms that tell us, hey, spiritual replenishment is needed here. You've just experienced a loss. Spiritual replenishment is needed here because you're going through a tremendous amount of pain right now. So spiritual replenishment is needed. You're going through discouragement or disappointment right now, so spiritual replenishment is needed. We need to learn to recognize the symptoms in our body. So I woke up this morning, had a sore throat. I thought, oh, yeah, there's something different in my body today than there was yesterday. I noticed the symptoms. The symptoms are a little bit different. We need to be able to identify that spiritually speaking. Number five, last point, number five. The right response in life should be valued by us more than having the right circumstances. The right response in life should be valued by us more than having right circumstances. We want right circumstances. I want to go through the right circumstances. Let the circumstances be right, Lord. We pray those prayers, and I'm going to keep praying those prayers as long as I have breath. I want the right circumstances, but really what's more important than the right circumstance is the right response to the circumstance. So here's what the Bible says in closing. Genesis chapter 50, this amazing man named Joseph, who started out as a prisoner in captivity, and instead of growing weaker, he grew stronger every single year of his life. After bearing Jacob, Joseph returned to Egypt with his brothers and all who had accompanied him to his father's burial. But now that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers became fearful. "Joseph will now show us anger and pay us back for all the wrong that we did to him," they said. So they sent this message to Joseph. "Before your father died," so the brothers are so fearful that Joseph's going to retaliate, they conspire a scheme to lie. "Before your father died, he instructed us to say to you, 'Please forgive your brothers for the great wrong they did you, for their sin in treating you so cruelly.' So we, the servants of God, of the God of our father, beg you to forgive our sin." Now listen to Joseph's response. "When Joseph received the message, he broke down and he wept. Then his brothers came and threw themselves down before Joseph. 'Look, we are your slaves,' they said. But Joseph replied, 'Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for all good. He brought me to this position." We need to have this be the cry of our heart. "God brought you to this position so that you could save the lives of many people. Now don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children." So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. Your life is significant. Jenny, would you come back up here? Your life is significant. The discipline of replenishment is invaluable in our lives. We have to take on the self-development challenge and the self-significance challenge, recognizing that our lives are that important. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.